You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
For a weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke with co-leader Marama Davidson about several topics that have been of concern recently. Our first topic was around COP28, which is currently being held in Dubai, and is being attended by a few of Aotearoa's leaders, including Climate Change Minister Simon Watts and Green Party co-leader James Shaw. I asked about what the Green Party hopes to achieve and represent in this year's conference. We then spoke about the new government's plan to review the Te Tiriti of Waitangi and what this will mean for Aotearoa. I then asked about the government's plans to scrap the fair pay agreement and the impact this will have on working Kiwis. Finally, we also spoke about Prime Minister Christopher Luxon's statement this morning alongside leaders from Canada and Australia, which essentially called for a ceasefire in Gaza amidst the war with Israel. The first topic I want to discuss is COP28. First and foremost, what is the Green Party hoping to achieve for Aotearoa through this conference?
We actually need to be thinking about our people today, but future generations and mokopuna. There's just no way we can address climate change at all unless we make it very clear fossil fuels need to stay in the ground where they belong.
And as I understand, Greens co-leader James Shaw is currently at COP28 in Dubai. What role is the Green Party hoping to play in this year's conference?
Yeah, we know people around the world are actually looking to countries like Aotearoa for this leadership. We have a proud reputation of having movements and strong calls for the planet and for people. Yesterday, Minister Shane Jones said it was a, quote, fairy tale to think that we will meet the international targets that New Zealand has signed up to. James did a fantastic historical job, in fact, the most climate action in the past 6 years than we've seen in three decades. And he is at COP to make sure we're keeping an eye on what the role of New Zealand is, to support the current climate change minister to be the strongest minister that this country and the world needs, and to be able to highlight that what Shane Jones said is just completely out of touch. It's fossil thinking. It's actually also reckless and irresponsible. And it's utterly nonsensical that this government is planning to reopen oil and gas drilling in our ocean. It's really important for James to be there to hear and feel and see directly the calls that are coming from around the world that are responsible in understanding what we need to all be doing to really have a stable climate for the future and for now.
Now, there is currently a deal being negotiated to phase out the burning of oil and gas at the conference. Climate Change Minister Simon Watts has said that the current government supports this phase out, but do you think this aligns with their plan to resume oil and gas exploration?
Not at all. Not at all. A phase out includes phasing out our current use, our current reliance and dependence on oil and gas, on non-renewable and fossil fuel production. We have to even phase out what we already have. So then opening up exploration at all for even more, for new fossil fuel, absolutely goes against any alignment to phasing out, any alignment to the agreements to reduce emissions, the agreements around the world to keep the aim of no higher than 1.5 degrees increase. And I actually am quite, confused about how the current climate change minister can be so hypocritical with one statement that completely goes against another statement. And at the same time, this week, in fact, this government are planning to tear up the single most effective emissions reduction policy that New Zealand has ever had, which is the clean car discount, which even in its first 6-12 months already showed incredible driver in getting emissions down, incredible success and progress in getting emissions down, so and getting uptake of cleaner options. And so we need all the tools possible, and it's also quite weird and dangerous that this government are tearing up one of those single most effective emissions reductions policies.
Now, moving on to changes regarding Te Tiriti, the government is planning to review the treaty. Now, there has been a lot of dissatisfaction about this, but before we get into that, what exactly would a review of Te Tiriti look like in practice?
This is what I'm not sure about. We have now got 4 or 5 decades worth of deep, hard, strong work, particularly led from Māori, Hapu and Iwi, and research and submissions through the Treaty Tribunal. We've now got solid evidence to show that the ongoing treaty breaches, the ongoing breaches of Te Tiriti at the highest dynamic are because Māori never ceded sovereignty. And so any review of the treaty firstly has to recognise that Māori never ceded sovereignty. And there isn't agreement from this government on that. And in fact, ACT, political parties like ACT, have been going out really blatantly and putting out false information and putting out inaccuracies and lies. So a review on the treaty, on Te Tiriti, you know, that's been heard by Māori and Tauiwi supporters. You saw the protests last week, mobilising people onto the streets in a way we've never seen before in such very short notice. And people know that this is an assault. Whatever language they try and use, it's a legislative assault on Te Tiriti and therefore, by extension, on Māori, on tangata whenua. So we will support those voices. We will resist all attempts to undermine Te Tiriti justice. And we will highlight the progress that has been made over many decades, all trying to be undone in the matter of this new government.
Now, the Green Party and yourself in particular put out a statement condemning not only this review, but also other changes, including the removal of Te Reo from government documents and the de-establishment of the Māori Health Authority. Can you go into more detail about what your concerns are when you look collectively at what the new government is planning in relation to Aotearoa's Indigenous people?
The Health Authority and the independent Māori Health Authority was a move to recognise the ongoing and long-standing injustice, racism and inequities that have been perpetuated by successive governments. And that information, that data, that evidence is clear to see. There is no longer any debate about whether or not there even is systemic discrimination, racism, bias, and the harm, the actual well-being and life and death harm that this has caused over generations, particularly to Māori. That is clearly established, well established. The Māori Health Authority was finally a step to try and turn around 180, at least 100 years of ongoing systemic failure to be able to provide Māori with what we are all entitled to, proper healthcare. And the fact that this government want to undo that, you know, you can have debates about what would have been the right mechanisms, but this government are just wanting to send a message to their less informed sentiments, their less informed collectives, that we will not stand for improving the lives of Māori because it's unfair to everyone else. And that is such a boring, lazy analysis of what the Health Authority was going to be able to do, which was to provide equity and accountability to health systems, to get resources where they need to be, and to help remove the systemic discrimination that is deeply rooted across all of our health and social systems. So this government is sending that message. Yes, we know that people who are living in fear and ignorance with some quite racist expectations, we are going to pander to them. They're appealing to the worst of us rather than the best of us, and I think that's pretty disgraceful.
There has also been several protests across the country and a lot of pushback from the community and organizations such as Aotearoa Liberation League and Te Waka Hauru, alongside Te Pāti Māori, of course. Does the Green Party plan to work with community organizations and other groups to help this movement?
Yes, that is our whole focus. It is what helped us get the most successful election we've ever had. Was actually building on the power and the relationships of our grassroots communities and organisations. We know that that's where the mandate lies, to have stronger climate action, to have Te Reti justice upheld, to ensure that everyone is what they need to live good lives and to protect our tāiao, our environment. It is actually working with our grassroots communities who are mobilising, with collective organisations and groups who have got the depth and expertise and leadership in these areas. That is going to be a whole focus. We've got the biggest caucus we've ever had. We've got the biggest Māori and Pacific caucus we've ever had, and we've got more capacity to be able, and more experience, to be able to work and prioritise those voices and those groups and strategise together.
Our next topic is the Fair Pay Agreement. The new government has also decided to scrap the Fair Pay Agreement. What is the Green Party's stance on this?
The Fair Pay Agreements, which we have worked on for at least the last term or two, quite closely, would have put more money into the pockets of people teaching our mokopuna, those keeping our hospitals clean and safe, those stocking our supermarket shelves, those driving us around on buses and public transport. And it takes a particularly cruel government to turn its back on those very people who are the glue, the backbones of our communities. And there are thousands of people who today are forced to work two, three and more jobs just to make ends meet. And fair payment agreements were going to provide a lifeline, ensuring everyone was paid enough to support their families, pay the bills, put a roof over their heads. I think we should all be looking and asking, what does it say about a government's values that one of the first things it does in urgency is deny cleaners, early childhood teachers, bus drivers and security guards their best shot in decades of being paid what they deserve? So the government is basically telling them to make do with what they've got, even as they continue to struggle to pay the rent, to feed the kids, to pay their power bills, that their well-being is less important than the profit of big business, because that is what is behind this move. It is about the profit of big business. It is not about workers. It is not even about small businesses. It is about the profit of big businesses. And what better evidence do we need than who their donors were in the campaign and what their donors expect? So people should be really clear. National are trying to, the government are trying to dress the FPA removals as supporting people and communities. Rubbish. People need to really understand that is complete and total rubbish. They hate workers. They are prioritising big profit of big business, and that's it.
I also spoke with ETU's Matt Danaher, who said he feared this will also marginally impact women, Māori and Pacifica. How do you see this marginalised impact playing out?
Yes, exactly. Well, it's already played out, right? Look at the pay and conditions inequities and how they have disproportionately impacted on Māori, women, young people, Pacifica. Gosh, already for decades, people with disabilities, disabled people. That evidence is clear. That evidence is already really, really clear. Lowest paid for doing the same thing, I want to be really, really clear. Lowest paid for incomparable positions, the health and well-being impacts, the stress impacts on our lowest paid and lower paid workers, who also happen to be Māori, Pacifica women and young people and disabled people, the ongoing impacts and what that means for people to be able to afford housing, kai, power bills, healthcare, even getting to healthcare, accessing healthcare. And so that's already been clear in the research, in the data, in the evidence. It is those groups who are already impacted. So the fair pay agreements were going to try and start rectifying that, fixing that and addressing that. So that's the message that this government is saying. I'm sorry, but your lives are not as important. Your well-being is not as important. Your dignity in living a dignified life is not as important as big profits for big businesses.
Our last topic is the Palestine-Israel conflict. Now, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, alongside the leaders of Canada and Australia, put out a statement this morning continuing to condemn Hamas's attacks, but also recognizing that they are concerned about the impact of Israel's response on the Palestinian people. They are calling for an extended ceasefire. What do you think about this statement at this point in the conflict?
What I think is we should be congratulating and acknowledging the movement of the people that have been able to shift these countries into an improved statement. It's horrifying that it has taken thousands more lives for these countries to have to move, but it has only come because of the movement on the ground here and around the world and sustained. The fact that we have had people... Palestinians and here and Palestinians with connections in Gaza and around the world have had to sustain over 2 months of solid ground movement, of organizing, of rallying. It's incredible. And that is the only reason why we are finally seeing these countries' leaders doing a bit of the right thing. So it's good. We still, and in the conversation, I'm also starting to hear, and this is, again, due to the people, I'm starting to hear some real hope in the discourse of things like actually going to the underlying drivers, to addressing the illegal territories and state settlements that Israel has been driving for quite some time, to addressing the illegal blockades that Israel has had control over, to actually awarding and acknowledging the need for to recognize a Palestinian state and their independence, their self-determination. It's finally starting to pick up those really important elements. At the same time, the Greens would definitely like to see those demands go further, an enduring and permanent and unconditional ceasefire, the recognition also of accountability from the State of Israel to their war crimes, to their genocide, to their absolute brutality that hasn't just begun on October the 8th, it has been ongoing. And so that's where the Greens' position has been for quite some time, and we will always be standing with the people on the ground.
Building on that, the statement also continued to reaffirm Israel's right to defend itself and to exist, whilst also acknowledging the illegal settlement of Gaza and the Palestinian people. Do you think this statement is lacking in consistency, and what do you think they're trying to achieve with this?
Lacking in equal treatment, which I expect to everyone has a right to self-defense, but to use any excuse or rationale or justification to kill innocents in the thousands. I mean, one is one too many. But to resume the killing of innocent people, including children, women, men, elderly, medics, journalists, health workers, teachers, schools, churches, mosques, and so on and so forth, I think the world, the international community, needs to stop putting up any rationale for this killing, because it dampens our collective humanity. Once we start to have any excuses for this murderous regime, then it really dampens our collective humanity. And so I would like to see equal assessment given to, yes, the violence that came from Hamas and the innocent lives lost, which we must call for accountability for, which we must grieve and which we must acknowledge. And we also must be clear about what Israel is doing here is completely and utterly disproportionate, unacceptable and murderous.
That was Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson talking about COP28, the Tetiti Review, the Fair Pay Agreement, and the Prime Minister's statement on Palestine. We'll be back after this short break. Keep it on the beat.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.